1 Kings 20th chapter. Please stand in reverence to the reading of God's word. I'm going to start reading at verse number 1, 20th chapter, 1 Kings. And Ben-Hadad, the king of Syria, gathered all his hosts together, and there were 32 kings with him, and horses and chariots, and he went up and besieged Samaria and warred against it. And he sent messengers to Ahab, king of Israel, into the city and said unto him, Thus saith Ben-Hadad, Thy silver and thy gold is mine, thy wives also and thy children, even the goodliest, are mine. And the king of Israel answered and said, O Lord, O king, according to thy saying, I am thine and all that I have. And the messengers came again and said, Thus speaketh Ben-Hadad, saying, Although I have sent unto thee, saying, Thou shalt deliver me thy silver and thy gold and thy wives and thy children, yet I will send my servants unto thee tomorrow about this time, and they shall search thine house and the houses of thy servants, and it shall be that whatsoever is pleasant in thine eyes, they shall put it in their hand and take it away. Then the king of Israel called all the elders of the land and said, Mark, I pray you, and see how this man seeketh mischief. For he sent unto me for my wives and for my children and for my silver and for my gold, and I denied him not. And all the elders and all the people said unto him, Hearken not unto him, nor consent. Wherefore he said unto the messengers, Ben-Hadad, Tell my lord the king all that thou didst send for, To thy servant at the first I will do, but this thing I may not do. And the messengers departed and brought him word again. And Ben-Hadad sent unto him and said, The gods do so unto me, and more also if the dust of Samaria shall suffice for handfuls for all the people that follow me. And the king of Israel answered and said, Tell him, let not him that girdeth on his harness boast himself, as he that putteth it off. And it came to pass, when Ben-Hadad heard this message, as he was drinking, he and the kings in the pavilion, that he said unto the servants, Set yourselves in array. And they set themselves in array against the city. Behold, there came a prophet unto Ahab, king of Israel, saying, Thus saith the Lord, Hast thou seen all this great multitude? Behold, I will deliver it into thy hand this day, and thou shalt know that I am the Lord. And Ahab said, By whom? And he said, Thus saith the Lord, even by the young men of the princes of the providence. Then he said, Who shall order the battle? And he answered, Thou. And then he numbered the young men of the princes of the providence, and they were 232. And after them he numbered all the people, even all the children of Israel, being 7,000. And they went out at noon, but Ben-Hadad was drinking himself drunk in the pavilion. He and the king, the 32 kings that helped him. And the young men of the princes of the providence went out first, and Ben-Hadad sent out, and they told him, saying, There are men come out of Samaria. And he says, Whether they be come out for peace, take them alive. Whether they be come out for war, take them alive. So these young men of the princes of the providence came out of the city, and the army which followed them, and they slew every one his man. And the Syrians fled, and Israel pursued them. And Ben-Hadad, the king of Syria, escaped on a horse with the horsemen. Let us pray. Father, I want to thank you again today for the wonderful, wonderful word of God. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for all you've done this day for us. And trust, Lord, that the things that's been accomplished this day has been pleasing in your eyes. Once again, Lord, this is a new service, a new preaching time, a new time when we sang songs and prayed and give and done the things, Lord, we believe is proper for us to do. And Father, now we just, again, this preacher needs you, needs your power, needs your wisdom. You know, Lord, the things I need, and I ask you for them. I'm dependent on you, and I ask you, Lord, to bless in a real special way. Take this service and use it to your glory, and we'll thank and praise you for it. In Jesus' wonderful name, amen. You may be seated. Going to preach a message tonight which I've entitled A Defeated Life. I look back over the life of Ben-Hadad And I think he's one of the great examples of someone whose life was just defeated. I think what we're going to do is give you three basic things that we see in his life that caused his defeat. And what I'm concerned about today, I see many people's lives that are just defeated before they seem to even get started. I see a lot of young people that just never get off on the right track. See even adults that's down the road quite a ways, and it seems like their life has just never went the direction it ought to go. It just never seems to get straightened out. I was thinking of somebody just the other day, and certainly won't name that person, but they had a kind of a tragedy come into their life, and I said to myself, you know, they just never can get it. They just never can get the fact that what they need is God. And most of the time when you look at these people and look at the defeated lives, you find out that the real reason that they're defeated is because they leave God out, or the principles of God's word. They don't follow the principles of the word of God. And because of that, their lives just become almost like a tragedy. I don't want to see that. You don't want to see that. I don't want to see it for them. But you could go through this town and this community right here and find multitudes of lives that's just messed up. I'm not happy about that. I'm not making fun of them. I'm just saying their lives are just messed up. And when it comes right down to it, they've did things in their life that's brought this defeat in their life. I don't want that for you. I want you to have a sweet, precious life. I want you to love God and walk with God and for the rest of your life, and let God do what needs to be done in your life. Amen. Walk with him. Serve him. We have a lot of folk that come on buses of a morning, sometimes of a night here, and my heart goes out to you. I want you to have a good life. I mean that. I really want you to, and you can have. You don't have to live a defeated life. You can look forward to what God's going to do. Just stay close to him. Walk with him. Now, I'm just going to give you three different things here that we see Ben-Hadad. They're simple things, but we see in the life of Ben-Hadad, and he was defeated. He come to no good. And I believe this, of course, it's not just the youth, but I guess my concern is I want to see young people get started off on that right track. I want to see you headed right down the right road, doing the right things, and living for God and serving God, you see. Now, that's true also for adults. I don't want to see your lives all messed up either. I want to see you go on from wherever you are right now and go on and live for God. Amen. We can get our lives messed up, but I want to tell you something. We can get them straightened out too. We can live for God, walk with God for the rest of our life, and we won't have to come to the end and have a defeated life. One of the things I've preached a lot about in my time is when the end comes, I really do. I want to be able to look my Savior in the face, not saying I've done everything, but oh God, I tried my best to serve you and love you and walk with you. And I don't have a lot of regrets in my life of how I lived. I want to be able to do that. I want that for you too. Amen. So you don't want a defeated life. Well, if you're not going to have a defeated life, you're going to have to start young. You're going to have to start now, wherever you are, and do what's right. And these things that Ben-Hadad had, you know, I've seen young people get on drugs and alcohol and this meth thing and all. It just absolutely just mess their life up. Just mess them up for the rest of their life, it seems like. And we don't want that. Amen. We don't want that for you. God doesn't want that for you. And so we're going to look at some things that Ben-Hadad was that helped mess his life up and how he came to be defeated because of it. First of all, if you'll notice in verse 3 through 6, I may not read back over all of those, but you notice that he surrounded Samaria. Ahab the king was there. He told Ahab the king, I'm going to come. I'm going to take your children. Go take your wives, your children, your gold, your silver. And King Ahab, and it's hard for me to understand these, but he said, okay, you can have them. I guess he felt like he was defeated. And he said, okay, you can have them. Well, messengers went back to Ben-Hadad, and he said, oh, well, he's going to give me that. I'm going to get more. And I just want to tell you one thing. You bring greed into your life, you're going to destroy your life. Do you realize that day that that king could have come and had the silver and gold of King Ahab, could have had his wives and his children without any question? But he wasn't satisfied. There's a lot of folk that just never are satisfied with what they have. They're just never satisfied. You see, this king was a greedy king. The Bible says, he that is greedy of gain troubleth his own house. See, we don't want to believe that. We just want to look at that and say, you know, it's okay if I spend a lifetime of just hunting and trying to get more and more and more and more, and I'm not going to bring trouble to my house. That's not true, because the Bible says you will. I'm a Bible believer. Do you believe the Bible? I believe what the Bible says. And I believe if you have greed and you're in your life, you're going to trouble your own house. Learn to live a life of contentment. Now, I didn't say you couldn't have things. I didn't say you couldn't go forward and work and strive to the very best. I didn't say that. But get off of this greed thing. You see, be satisfied with what God brings your way. God's a great God. And I know in my life, I can tell you, I can stand here tonight and tell you that whatever I needed in life, God gave me and brought to me. He has given me the needs of my life. And folks, you just can't get it any better than that. And you see, we're worried about always this greediness and greediness. That helped destroy King Benadad. It helped bring him down. You know, the Bible even warns over in 1 Timothy about bishops and deacons to be not greedy of filthy lucre. That's what the Bible says. He warns about them because they're going to get themselves in trouble if they are. You see, preachers, you all you want to do is just get after the filthy lucre. Deacons want to get after the filthy lucre. You'll bring trouble to your house. You'll bring trouble to the house of God. See, we should not be seeking out and be greedy of filthy lucre, you see. And it'll bring trouble to us. Solomon back there called it all vanity. Solomon had everything he wanted and more. And he finally, at the end of life, just said, it's all vanity. That's all it is, you see. So you remember the rich young ruler? You remember how he gave up salvation because of greed? He did not want to give away that when God said, you know, go give it to the poor. He did not want to give that away and walked away sorrowful. You think that people cannot do that today? You think that people are not greedy today, and that's all they think about is more, 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 never satisfied with what God gives them? I believe something. I believe we ought to learn from others' mistakes. King Ahab here, the one we're talking about, he was greedy of Naboth's vineyard. He wanted that so bad. And when you ended that thing up, it brought him death. He died. I'm saying to you, don't be greedy. Young people, grow up not being greedy. Be satisfied and thankful for what God does. You may be surprised what he'll give you, but be satisfied with what God does for you, and don't be greedy. Amen? That'll just bring trouble to your own household. I mean, it'll bring trouble to your own household when you're greedy, you see. I don't want trouble on my household. You don't want trouble on your household. Amen? I believe the Bible. See, I believe what the Bible says. And I believe that if you do and you bring that greediness into your life, you're going to bring trouble to your own household. Amen? So, you know, I want to go over with a few moments over to 1 Timothy, please. 1 Timothy. Sixth chapter of 1 Timothy. He says in verse number 6, but godliness with contentment is great gain, for we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. Having food and raiment, let us be therewith content. But they that will be rich fall into temptations and a snare and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some covet after, they've erred from the faith and they've pierced themselves through with many sorrows. And then he goes on to say, O man of God, flee these things and follow after righteousness and godliness and faith and love and patience and meekness, and fight the good fight of faith. You notice what happens when we have a love of money? It becomes so important to us. That's what we will to be rich, is what the Word of God says. We have greed in our life. It's what we think about. We want more and more and more and more. Folks, listen, that'll bring trouble to your household. Now, old King Benadad fell. That was one of the reasons that he fell. What I'm trying to get God's people to do is be satisfied and thankful for what God gave you. Be grateful for what God gave you and quit trying to just be so greedy and always wanting this and always wanting that. We in America, we're just a mess when you get right down to it. We're always wanting more, always wanting this, always wanting that. Young people want it all when they're 25 or 30. And when most of us have had to wait till we're about 15, 16, 70. Young people want it now. They want everything. And that's greed. Wait on God. Let God help you. You see, he will. Let God help you. You see, get that greediness out of your life. Over in Matthew, the 6th chapter, you know, the Lord told us then about we ought to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto us. See, our responsibility is seek God. Put the righteousness of God first, you see, so that greediness for things will not come into our life. Amen. God knows what you have need of. I don't know about you, but I've always found that God's always abundantly overdone. Overgive. You see, if you leave it up to him, God knows what you need. God's able to take care of you. Amen. So again, keep the greediness out of your life. Might just mention to you, people, learn how to spend. Learn how to spend correctly. Know that when you buy something, when you spend something, it's a right thing to do. It's a good, proper thing to do. We waste so much money. Well, we just waste it. We throw it away. Down the drain, and on things we do not need. You understand what I'm saying? We've got to learn about that, you see. We're living in America, and so many people's in debt. I mean terribly, terribly, terribly in debt. Horribly in debt. That's not right. You don't need to be in debt like that. You need to learn to be content with what God has given you. Amen. And use your money wisely. Spend wisely. Don't live above your means. See, some folk in here make more money than other folk. That's all right. That's the way God done it. That's okay. Nothing wrong with that. But don't try to spend money like you're one of those who's made a whole bunch. Live within what God has given you. Learn to live within your means. Amen. Quit being so greedy. You see, Benadad, it destroyed his life. Secondly, not only that, he was a boastful king. Verse number 10 and verse number 11, going back to the book of 1 Kings 20 chapter, he says, And Benadad sent unto him said, The gods do so unto me, and more also, if the dust of Samaria shall suffice for handfuls for all the people that follow me. And the king of Israel answered and said, Tell him, let not him that girdeth on his harness boast himself as he that putteth it off. You're going to put on your harness? You're going to come to war? You're boasting as though you're sure you're going to go back home and take that harness off. That may not happen. And he said, Quit being so boastful. He was a very boastful king, braggart about what he was and the kingdom that he had. I'm saying that's a danger even today. The Bible says, We will boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring. We don't want to boast about tomorrow. Folks, we don't have anything to boast in. Without Jesus, you won't do anything. Why are we all sticking our nose up in the air and so proud about what we are? And let me say something. You won't take another breath unless Jesus says it's all right. You won't live another day unless Jesus says it's all right. So I'm saying to you, we need to get off of that boastful thing. That's what Ben-Hadad did. Stood around and boasted about what he was and the kingdom he had, what he was going to do, you see. Now, I want you to look at the book of Luke here for a moment. 12th chapter, the book of Luke. You remember the rich man? I'm not going to read all about it. The rich man, he had all this ground. He had all everything that he thought he'd ever need. And he says in verse number 18, and he said, "This will I do. We'll pull down my barns and build greater, and there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years, and take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall these things be which thou hast provided?" And he says, so is he that layeth up treasures for himself and is not rich toward God. Now, I don't know how you feel about it, but I'd much rather be rich toward God. I'd rather have, as he says back in Matthew, the 6th chapter, we didn't go back there and read, but he talks about lay treasures up in heaven, not on this earth. Where rust will come in, moth will come in and destroy, and rust will come in, and thieves will come in and destroy and steal it. God said, "Where should you lay your treasures up? In heaven." Now, I'm serious about that. Do you believe the Bible? Do you believe that's where you ought to lay your treasures up? I believe that's what God's talking about. You lay your treasures up in heaven. That's what he means. That's where you ought to be laying your treasures up instead of and down here on this earth and boasting about what you are and what you've done and how much you have and all these kind of things. Lay your treasures up in heaven, you see, because one of these days you'll be wanting to see that which you've sent ahead one of these days. If you lay them down here, they're all going to be destroyed. They're gone. Here, you see, this man was a boastful king, boasted about all the things, you see, that he did. This man that I read to you here in the book of Luke, he was a boastful man. He said, "You know what, I've done this, I've done that, I'm going to build bigger barns and all these things, and I'm going to, you know," he was really saying, "I'm going to just live forever, just live on." And God said, "No, tonight your soul will be required of you." There ain't one of us here don't know that maybe our soul will be required of us tonight. Not trying to scare us, not trying to do anything like that, just saying it's just a truth. Well, we just don't know, do we? And we need to not boast about tomorrow. You don't know what you're going to do tomorrow. You don't know if you're going to have a tomorrow or not. Amen. So this man was a boastful man. So I wanted to say to our young people, get off of this proud stuff. Get off of this proud stuff. Stay away from that stuff. Quit getting your nose stuck up in the air and thinking you're better than everybody else. You're not. God has a way of taking you down a notch. Two notches if he needs to. Three if he wants to. Amen. He knows how to do it. God knows how to do those things, you see. We get all proud, you see, in our ways. I want to tell you right now, you don't have anything to be proud of except Jesus. Just be thankful and grateful for what God has given you, see. And don't walk around with that proud look. You'd be a better person if you walked around to some of these other ones and made friendships with them instead of sticking your nose up in the air. I went over and met little Jimmy Clark. That's Jimmy Clark sitting right over there on the end. I don't know how many went over and met Jimmy, but I did. I was glad Jimmy's here today. Jimmy's an important young man. Yes, he is. Very important young man. Hey, I got to know him. Jimmy Clark's his name. Amen. Is that right, Jimmy? That's his name. Yeah. Amen. And there's some other ones around here, just important folk. Young people just coming in here, hearing the word of God, being faithful to God's house, they're important. Amen. So let's not get our nose all up in the air, young people. Let's don't do that. All right? And adults also. Don't be boastful. You see, that helped bring him down, you see. See, what King Benadad did is he failed to recognize that God is the judge. He putteth down one and setteth up another. God is the judge. God's the one that does that, you see. And he's not going to allow any flesh to glory in his presence. The older I get, the more I realize, boy, I don't even want to try to glory in the presence of God. I have nothing to glory in whatsoever. Anything been done in your life and my life and the life of this church has been because of God Almighty. No one else. Because of the Lord. Amen. Over in Proverbs 16 chapter, it says that pride goeth before destruction, haughty spirit before fall. See, pride will get you in trouble. Young people, remember that. Pride will get you in trouble. Amen. And that's what helped bring down King Benadad. Brought him down. He's a proud, boastful man. This kind of person's asking for trouble. You're boasting and haughty spirit. You're asking for trouble. You're going to bring trouble to your household. Amen. You remember how King Nebuchadnezzar done that? Not going to go back there, but you remember he was out here bragging about Babylon and all that he'd done there in Babylon, and he ended up eating grass out there in the field 7 years. See, God knows how to bring people down. Amen. You got to get rid of that pride. Got to get rid of that. Put it aside. Put it away. Amen. Don't be greedy and don't be boastful. Remember how old Herod stood that day and sat upon, I suppose, some kind of a high place and spoke. And the people said, hey, that's the voice of God. He didn't deny it. God killed him. God got rid of him real quick. See, took on boasting who he was, you see. I'm just saying to you, you and I both better remember that boasting is not going to get us anywhere. Amen. See, a person graduates from high school and goes on to college and goes out and gets a good degree and goes out and gets him a good job and starts making money and making good money. And, you know, and he turns around and looks around and says, man, look what I've done. Better look out. You're ready for a fall. Amen. So King Benadad, he was greedy and he was boastful. I want to show you what else he was in verse number 12, chapter 20. He says, and it came to pass when Benadad heard this message as he was drinking. Look at verse 16. And he went out at noon, but Benadad was drinking himself drunk. I want to tell you what else got him in trouble was alcohol. Got all messed up on alcohol. One day, I don't know when it's going to happen, but probably someday, you young people, somebody's going to offer you a drink. More than likely, somebody's going to offer you a drink. You be smart. Just put it away, run from it, do whatever you have to do, but never take that first sip. See, that stuff will get you in trouble. Amen. I've been around drunks. I've read the Word of God. I've seen what God said it'll do to us. And it'll ruin your morals too. It's not just what it'll do to your, it'll ruin your morals. You'll do things under the influence of alcohol you'd never do otherwise. Amen. So I'm saying to you, alcohol is a horrible, horrible thing. It'll shorten your life. Crime all over this country because of alcohol sends men to prison. You men that work in these prisons or have worked in these prisons, you know what a horrible place that is. It's a horrible place. Imagine going in there and having to live in there. Have to live in there. Well, alcohol sends you there. Gets you in all kinds of trouble. It's responsible for murder. Sure it is. It fills homes with heartaches. Amen. It swallows up wages. Amen. I can't remember how much it was, but I was astonished. I was in the gas station the other day paying for my gas, and somebody came in there and got a pack of cigarettes. Now, I just can't remember exactly what it was, but it seemed like it was over $2 for a pack. Does any of you folk know? Oh, no. But I really don't know how much it was, but it was like over $2 that guy handed out for a pack of cigarettes. And I said, look at that, just swallowing up, just smoking up that money that God gives us. Amen. Horrible, you see. Well, what do you think about alcohol? Alcohol is horrible, terrible. It's expensive, and they just swallow up the wages, you see. We've had a lot of people come to this church and try to get stuff off of us, and we know they drink. And I say, what do you want? You go home and quit drinking. Go home and quit smoking. Use the money you're smoking up. Use the money you're drinking up.
Amen.
Why should I buy that for you? Food for you when you're just eating, when you're just smoking it all up and drinking it all up.
Amen.
What's the matter? Amen. And not only that, it takes clothing right off the children's backs. It turns shivering families out of homes. You see, alcohol is a horrible, horrible thing. Stay away from that junk. Stay away from it. Don't ever partake of it. Listen, I've prayed with drunkards. I've prayed with them. I've been, and they just, you know, they're slobbery drunk. Just if he just got smart. But he lost it. I believe that multitudes of people are just defeated at the very outset of life. And they never get it straight. I know Johnny's told me before on this meth thing. That usually when they just only have to take it once or twice. They get hooked on it. It's amazing. I mean, they can't get away from it. After once or twice they take it, they just can't get away from it. They're just hooked on it. Don't you understand? You can't fool around with the old devil on that stuff and win. It's going to destroy your life. Man. Understand what his preacher's saying? Benadad just lost everything. I mean, just lost everything. Defeated because of greed. He was a greedy man. He was boastful and he was an alcoholic. Alcoholism will just destroy you. I think it's interesting, I'm not going to continue to preach on that, but I think it's interesting if you read that story back here in 1 Kings, who did God choose out to win the battle and win the victory? It was the young princes. God chose 232 of them to lead the fight. And I was thinking, I don't always want to put it back on the young people. But boy, if we don't have some young people stepping up to the plate and getting ready to help lead the charge, they were 7,000 of the other ones there too, and they went to battle and they won the battle. But there was 232 young people, young princes that was leading the battle, and God chose them. And I want to say tonight, I'm proud of our young people. No, I want you to know that. I don't know whether most of you know this or not, but as far as I know, when they start college, there's going to be 12 of our young people in college, Bible college. I don't know whether you know it or not, but from Jacksonville, Indiana, that's a miracle. 12 of our young people be, and you say, well, Brother Ross, is it just the ones going to college? Of course not. I'm proud of these. It's not. If they don't go to college, it's all right. We've got some young people around here that just stuck here and worked. And I'm proud of them. I'm thankful for them. I'm grateful for them. I'm grateful for some good young people that'll just love God. But I think that's a miracle. 12 of them be in college this fall, just going away, trying to get prepared, see what God wants for their life. That's wonderful. I'm just proud. Not the wrong kind of proud. I'm just proud of them. This pastor's proud of them, grateful for them, what God's going to do in their lives. And I'm grateful for what God's going to do in every one of these little ones' lives around here. Precious, precious young people. Boys started school here last Friday, getting ready to go again on Monday. And you look at all those kids. And I want to tell you to put a smile on your face and a smile on your heart. You see these precious young people come in here and start school. It's wonderful. Amen. And we've got them scattered around. Maybe they're not going to our school, but they're scattered around. They come here and hear the Word of God, hear the Bible. They go back to their schools and take their faith with them. It's just wonderful. Amen. So I want you to know I'm proud of you. You keep living for Jesus. God will use young people. Okay? But don't be greedy. Don't be boastful. And don't get hooked on some addiction. Whether it's alcohol or meth or whatever it might be. Don't get hooked on something that'll absolutely ruin your life. Head you in the wrong direction. You might be here tonight and you might say, Brother Ross, I've been heading the wrong direction. I'm not going the right direction, but I want to start tonight going in the right direction. I want to get it straight. I want to get it right. I want to come down to this old altar and say, you know what, it's time for me to turn things around. And I want to head in the right direction. I want to walk with God for the rest of my life. I've got things kind of messed up, but I don't want to do it anymore. Wouldn't it be a great time just to get alone here at an altar? Come alone, just come to God and say, God, I just need you. Need you to help me. I don't want to be greedy. I don't want to be boastful. I don't want to get caught up on some addiction. I want my life to go forward for the Lord and have a good, proper life. Amen. Wouldn't that be good? Let's pray. Father, again, I thank you today for your goodness and your kindness and your grace. Pray for young people tonight. Lord, ask you, God, to help them to just get on the right track and stay on it. Lord, not to get off of it, just stay on that right track. Live for God, walk with God. And Lord, things come their way. Consent not to the evil. No, don't follow the wicked ways. There are going to be people who are going to try to lead you away. We know that, Father, that's going to happen, but help them not to consent to it. Help them not to do it. Help them just be faithful to God. And you bless their lives in Jesus' name. Amen.